The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Every time I go on my body, say it, clicking close. I've been stressed out past couple of months, I swear that only God knows. I couldn't drive my car by my gal, I couldn't hail my bros. By the food store lines, dead long and fluster. ATM broke, man, I can't even go KFC, get one famous bowl. Until one day the Prime Minister say, if you want gold, then go. So I can get me one, shape up and I can put on my clothes. I going straight by the bar because it's clicking road. Well, let's get some dirty bungies, cause it's flicking road. Since when this open up the country, it's just flicking road. I got me some jelly juice because it's
good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 19th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We've got lots to talk about this morning. I chose that song to open the show intentionally. It has some strong lyrics in it. It is very Bahamian, not just the lyrics, but the sentiment, right? This song should have been the COVID anthem. Why? Because from the moment Minnis opened up the road, nothing has been right. Nothing has made sense. See, that's that song right there, no matter what the Prime Minister got up on the TV and said every other day, my fellow Bahamians, none of that mattered. Nothing. All people wanted was road. And now that they have road, all they want is destruction. And I'm not saying that lightly either. There's a recklessness that is taking over the streets of the Bahamas. I intend on sounding like old people, like there's a spirit that has come over this place, right? Something is terribly wrong. We have the tools, all the tools we need to identify the problem, to identify solutions, to identify strategies to achieve said solutions. We have all of those tools. It seems the only thing we're missing, only one thing we're missing, is a good attitude. That's it. We've got all of the resources, money, infrastructural, technical, human, all. The only thing we're missing is a good attitude. That's up, May. That's exactly what the old people will tell you. It don't matter how smart you are. It don't matter how much things you have. If you don't have a good attitude, all will come to ruin. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning, Erin.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right.
The word of the day is character.
Word of today's character. I was going to make it integrity, but I can write down your word, character. So let me get through the housekeeping, and then we're going to get to the show. Remember, we're running the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. Four districts competing: New Providence, Grand Bahama, Sensal, and the rest of the archipelago. You call in, give two pieces of information: the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of his death. Those two pieces of information will win the prize. We know students are in school right now, so parents can call in on their behalf. We're still running the T-shirt and magazine recycling drive. If you got old T-shirts, if you got old magazines, don't put them in the dump. Give them to me. I'm going to give them to people who are doing good things with them. Upcycling, recycling. Also, Hannah Hasty Tynes, my family, our January general meeting is approaching Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026, 7 p.m., St. John's Auditorium. St. John's Auditorium, 7 p.m., Thursday, the 29th of January. That's the last Thursday in the month. Okay, Crystal, I had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about this morning. I wanted to walk through Bishop Boyd's commentary at the recent, police or legal service opening of the legal year?
Yes.
I wanted to walk through that. Along with that, I wanted to walk through these two articles, plea deals and drop cases dominate DPP court statistics. And 27% increase in cases disposed of in 2025. There's a lot of interest in there. And then to couple it with this article, prosecution looks to dispose of over 300 cold cases, quote unquote, right? But the papers today. So for those who are interested in that conversation, I think I'm going to pick it up tomorrow, sometime this week. 27% increase in cases disposed of in 2025. Plea deals and drop cases dominate DPP court statistics. Prosecution looks to dispose of over 300 cold cases in 2026. Bishop calls for fairer, faster justice. AG pushes back against Boyd's comments. Pinder says more legal reform coming. Bahamas' first sentencing guidelines in new criminal court announced. New judicial complaint system to launch by end of month, right? So that was the compendium of articles I wanted us to walk through. There's some interesting things in there. For instance, when the Attorney General pushes back, AG pushes back against Boyd's comments, right? He raises the example of a boat. So Bishop Boyd is saying, hey, things ain't looking fair and balanced in the justice system in the Bahamas. The AG pushes back and say, it may appear like that on the surface, but when you delve in, that's not really the case. The AG cites a case, right, where a boat had been detained by Bahamian officials. Bahamian officials determined they were not going to seize said boat to recover funds, right? The people objected. Hey, are you treating this rich, privileged person differently than you would treat a poor, unprivileged person? The AG said, no, the reason why we didn't seize the vessel is because it already had a lien on it. Someone already had dibs on the vessel, so we couldn't. But I want to say to the AG, that's not necessarily the example. Maybe the example we should use is the question of how could an individual who was found with a massive number of guns and other contraband on their boat be released with just a fine? Right? Like they're charged and then they're released with a fine. It gets better. In a court that does not have the authority to issue fines. So that's the thing.
Yeah, I think it goes more to the general functioning of the judicial system in rather than the particular cases that you know that we may pull on. So while he may be right, the AG is correct. Saying that it's not every single case. Well, we have to look at the number of cases, the probability. We know that a lot of the high profile cases are the ones where we've seen the examples of what Bishop Boyd was talking about. But I don't think what he is saying should be fully dismissed because he's echoing the sentiments that many people have from their experience and witnessing certain inequalities, right?
I would rephrase that and say because he ain't lie.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
As simple
that's
as that,
I
he's
said,
not lying.
It may not be 100% across the board all the time that this is happening. We have seen cases with influential people, and they seem to have gotten a metaphorical slap on the wrist, or you know, if any at all. And the ones that are high profile would be a little bit more popular, and we would remember them more, so they'd be highlighted. But the disparities that people experience, right, in the justice system, it bleeds out into other sectors of public life beyond justice, like when we discuss things like access and respect, right? So going back, right, can I afford a lawyer? Am I being arrested for stealing bread? You know, so these are the type of things that certain people don't find themselves in, but there is a certain part of society that gets tied up in these type of issues. And this is where
I get you.
We have to have that discussion about
absolutely.
Justice
we're gonna go
and social structure, right?
Right. We're going to go to the phone line. The system in and of itself is unfair and imbalanced. Mm-hmm. Inherently, structurally.
Yeah, inherently.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Sorry about that. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Crystal. You know, Aaron, you know we live on an animal farm in the Bahamas. I don't know why you didn't accept that.
I can tell you why. Hold on. Stick a pin. I can tell you why. Even though a large percentage of Bahamians would have read Animal Farm in schools, right, in high school, you would think that with so many people reading it at the same time that we would see the message in the book, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is not that people didn't read it. It's how we read the book. Right? In the same way, when you get deep into real theologian study, right? It's how you read the book, how you interpret the message. And that's why we live in an animal farm, despite so many of us having interrogated the book in school.
You know what? You know, and you're right, Aaron. Say, I try to push back. I don't accept the notion that that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, but you see it in certain families. There are some families, they are more important than others, even though they say to be all important.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the church. You see it in the judiciary. You see it in politics. I mean, that's a no-brainer thing that I'm a low-hanging fruit that the Bishop Boyd addressed. And I don't know why the AG is trying to, like he is living in a bubble and he don't want to accept that. I mean, he can say, the prudent thing to say is, we accept that there are some deficiencies and we're going to move forward or try assiduously to correct these things. But just to come out blatantly and say it doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
it's just ludicrous.
Yep.
It's just ludicrous on all levels. But it happens in all society. Well, some are more equal than others. That's just the reality that we have to continue on trying to eradicate out of the small Bahamas.
Yep, without a doubt. Thank you very much. As you know, as you go, you may want to say something else in a moment. I ain't gonna hang you up. Oh, you hang yourself up. I like that. I like that. See, here's what it is. When we talk about an imbalance, when we talk about an unfair justice system, when we talk about a system that inherently, because of its nature, privileges one group of people and does not ensure access to that same privilege to other groups of people. Let me give you all a perfect example, right? Quick story, man in New York City in Manhattan is taking a woman on a date, a fancy date to a fancy restaurant. He picks her up. They pull up in front of the restaurant. He just pops out of the car. The young lady familiar with the city says to him, oh, wait, be careful. This is a no parking zone. He says, for you. She said, what you mean? Mind you, he picked her up. So she worried about how I can get home mm-hmm. if this big car get towed. He said, my love, relax. She said, but you're going to get a fine. He said, it just costs me more to park my car than it costs you. You cannot afford what I could afford. If a crime, if an offense has a fine attached to it, what it truly means is that some people can afford to engage in this activity and some people can't. See, that's why the question arose, one of the questions that arose in the interrogation of the asylum, what we call the asylum bill, the anti-smuggling bill, mm-hmm. is the fines that you attach to these offenses. It suggests that maybe you don't understand the intricate and complex nature of the operation you're trying to stop. Because a $300,000 fine, a $100,000 fine for somebody engaged in smuggling is not a deterrent. And when I say that, what I mean is the people at the top, the people who benefit most from this operation. A fine is simply a demarcation of who can engage in this activity and who cannot. So when you see these offenses with fines attached to them, then know that some people can afford to do the thing and some people can't. I get a text that says, where do you bring the t-shirts? You could bring them to The Guardian, or you could message this number, 432-1757, 432-1757. WhatsApp text only. WhatsApp text only. And they could organize pickup or drop off. All right. So those are some of the things that I had put on the table. But the weekend brought us so much, much more. The weekend brought us so much, much more. So the numbers to call today, 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. 242-300-5720. Toll free for Family Island listeners, Ragged Island people. How y'all doing? Are the lights back on? Are they back on with sense? Right? Is the process running smoothly? Have you had to petition your service provider for compensation due to loss of goods or items in the extended power outage? It's a good thing that they, divested BPL and BEC from the Ministry of Works, because I don't know what our Minister of Works would be doing right now. Maybe holding his head in a hole in the ground, because Minister of Works, it's time for you to resign. It's time for you to resign. We removed water and sewage. We removed BTC. We removed BPL from your portfolio, right? Now you just the Ministry of Works. The street lights are all out. The road signs are down. The lines in the road that is road signage indicating to people where they should be and what they should not be doing faded away and disappearing. You got people digging up the road with no notice. You have roadworks taking place at peak traffic time with no notice. No traffic management team. Nothing.
You know, it's gotten to the point where if I'm in the car and I'm sitting down and I see like this long line of traffic, I'm like, traffic is not usually here. Okay. That means it's either a police roadblock or they're digging up the road.
Mm-hmm.
50% of the time, it's some road work or some, you know, lay-in pipe or lines. And it's just like, oh, this during peak traffic hour.
With no notification.
You know, on a main road, because mm-hmm. I usually use the main roads and highways. And I'm just like, okay, we're doing this again. I think there needs to be, I think we're due for like an update, you know what I mean? On what the plan is, what are the setbacks, what are the challenges, just mm-hmm. so that we can start making sense out of this.
Yep. I'm looking through the paper right now to see if anybody reported the traffic fatality on Tony Darling Highway this weekend. Did anybody report the very bad accident at Blue Hill Road and Soldier Road? Was it yesterday or Saturday, right? Are these things being reported? And more importantly, why are they not being reported? Here we go to the Tribune. I found it. 5 traffic deaths recorded in first weeks of January. 7 people were killed in road traffic accidents in January 2025, compared with 5 fatalities recorded so far in January 2026, based on the Tribune's records. Police declined to provide official traffic fatality statistics of 2025 when contacted. It makes sense to me, because they don't have them.
I wonder if there's a part of the investigation where you look at the probability of what happened. You know, like sometimes when they have, like when you watch on TV and they have like the investigators come and they said, oh, the person was coming from this direction and this street sign wasn't there. So they may have thought that this was a through road and this is what happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like some, and then they dig and then they find that, oh, someone removed it. So
yeah, they have a traffic response team.
And then gathering that information to say that, okay, well, we need to put more traffic signs here. We need to put reflectors in the light is not working.
Are they using the data that's available to them to build policy and infrastructural?
Also communicate with the public a benefit of the doubt.
No, Crystal, they're not doing it.
Like,
they're not doing it. Who they can give it to? They can give it to the cabinet minister that came off of East Hill Street this morning without stopping at the stop sign onto East Street. That's who they can give it to? They can get to the MPs and the cabinet ministers and the policymakers who use Peck Slope to come onto East Hill Street and don't even stop at the stop sign, even though Government House Gate on the eastern side is now open.
Like, someone did that to me. I didn't know what you were talking about earlier, but this weekend someone did that to me on that same road. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
got
just
me
like
off, and I was just like, you could go that way. I didn't know. They just went straight up. Okay.
Yeah. It's It's amazing. So let's get back to this article. The first fatality occurred on January 1st. An adult male motorist was killed in a crash on University Drive. So that's 2025 we are looking at. By comparison, five traffic fatalities have been identified during January 2026 based on incidents confirmed through the police statements and Tribune records. The first fatality occurred on January the 3rd. 64-year-old man was struck and killed while using a pedestrian crossing on Bahama Games Boulevard. On the 7th, a collision along Queens Highway and Palmetto Point claimed the lives of two men aged 21 and 28. Another fatality on the 11th, a 27-year-old male police officer died after his vehicle collided with a wall on East Bay Street. The 5th occurred on January the 12th, where an 18-year-old died following a motorcycle crash in 8 Mile Rock. Okay, so what happened to the traffic fatality that happened this weekend on Tonique Darling Highways, reported in the news by Our News? Let's add six. Let's get clarity on this, please. Another fatality was reported this weekend, and I haven't seen a retraction of said report yet. See, this leads us to our next segment, right? I'm looking for an article that would highlight all of the things that happened this weekend. Here we go. Police probe string of armed robberies across New Providence. I'm not sure if this covers all of them, but here we go. Police are probing a string of robberies and attempted robberies across New Providence on Saturday night as armed suspects targeted motorists and business establishments in a matter of hours. The first incident occurred shortly after 8 p.m. At a business on Village Road, where a female employee was confronted by the occupants of a dark-colored vehicle. Now, here's my thing. I even read the police report, right? Why y'all don't put the names of the establishments that were robbed in the police report?
I always wondered that.
Why?
I always wondered that.
See, because when we get to the second half of this segment, that may become more relevant or germane. I have a friend named Jermaine. I don't mean you, Jermaine.
Did they say the street that the businesses were?
Village Road. But okay. Then, like, Village Road, where a female employee was confronted. Police say one male suspect brandished a firearm and attempted to rob them.
I guess they don't want to ruin the business or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they...
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
For them to think that naming the thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably why.
I'm not saying you're not making any sense. I'm saying
I think it's probably, it may be as per request of the business owner or something.
Public safety.
I know.
Public safety trumps their right to privacy in this instance, right? We go to page 5. One suspect was described as a dark-skinned male wearing a purple hoodie and a white mask. Less than an hour later, shortly after 9 p.m., a man reported being robbed of his vehicle on West Bay Street. Another robbery was reported shortly after 9:30 p.m. at a business along Prince Charles Drive. That's not what I am thinking about. I am thinking about, I'm looking through the papers as we speak, because I want to be very careful, because remember, we are not prejudicing justice just to get a first strike at the story. However, so let's change the name of the subject of the segment. It is disturbing things I saw on videos on social media this weekend.
Slash heard.
I don't hear them type of things. Where you be? I don't be
no,
there.
No, they send the voice notes.
and the voice note. Let me get to the text.
Seen and heard.
Let me get to the text line quickly. Hey, Aaron, in your world of allegedly, an immigration officer was just fired from the immigration department for accepting a bribe from a Haitian. Stick a pin. For accepting a bribe. Pause. That's the offense. Is accepting a bribe. There's no offense of accepting a bribe from a Haitian. We don't care.
Right.
Yeah. So, I saw the video, right? I heard the voice note. I mean, I saw the picture, the image of someone in detention, being detained by immigration officers and teams. I saw that. I heard the voice note. I don't see nothing in the paper.
I saw.
I like to read
news.
From the. See, I like to read from
I
the
saw
paper.
Social media. It's on social media.
Now, is it on one of the websites?
Yeah,
on the digital cover. Yeah, good. So I just say to the texter, right? I will say allegedly, until there's no need to say allegedly, and right. When that is when the thing has been the investigation or the legal process is concluded. Mm-hmm. What you could say on the text line is not what I could say on the airways, guys. Let's remember that, please. Good morning. Please note that the statement Bishop Boyd made is pervasive in New Providence. Many persons here believe because they have things, money, and power that is given by God, they think they are now gods. They will soon find out time is longer than rope. God has the last say. We have more dollars than cents, and we really and truly believe we could solve problems with money. In fact, money is a signifier of status. And not just money, but your ability to access money, right? That's why I guess for some people, those uniforms look so attractive. Good morning. The failing infrastructure and lack of preventative maintenance is appalling. I do wonder sometimes how many traffic accidents are due to poor infrastructure, lack of signage, non-functioning traffic lights, lack of street lights, etc. And if public works, the government can be sued if they are at fault. Well, I'd tell anybody and everybody, if you were involved in an accident at around roadworks, then tell your insurance agent that you want them to determine whether the government has any liability mm-hmm. here because of the lack of proper, a lack of adherence to its own protocols. Mm-hmm. Make your insurance agent works for you.
Yeah, so I think that's related to like with the road accidents. It's like a cycle. It's I don't know if the accidents because of the lack of proper public transportation, the amount of traffic on the road that leads to more accidents causes the infrastructure to wear out more. Because we've seen people yesterday.
I already had like, Crystal. Fly. I already had. Hold on. I already.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
I already had a whole.
We've seen the damage.
Let me talk. Did a whole segment on this.
Okay.
They keep letting the boy them patch the roads in slippers. They keep letting MPs come out in the road and pat and flow shine shoes, pretending like they patching road. I ain't gonna never forget Sweden when you're out on the road in your boat shoes with no hard hat, no safety equipment, just like the other people doing the job. Yeah, we expect these things to break down as soon as they finish fixing them because we know just through casual visual observation that they're not doing the job properly. So yeah, that's a part of it as well. But it's a combination of things. For instance, over the last 3 days, the number of people that I've driven past who have lost complete sense of where they are because they are so deep in their phone, right? So it's a combination of that because you're trying to avoid someone like that. Mm. But the pothole is right in the middle of the road. So when that person on their phone bears into your lane, leaving you no room to navigate the potholes and the issues in front of you, then, yeah, you could break your car axle. It's a combination of things. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I think it's Aaron.
This is
Aaron, sorry.
This is Aaron. Good morning.
Come on, Aaron. Good morning. Oh, Aaron, I just have to call about you on this point.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving on... It's actually my six-legged roundabout.
All right, hold on. You are on Samilo going on to the six-legged roundabout. Go on.
Well, that's a Avenue extension.
Okay.
Okay. So this was about 3 weeks ago. It was just before Christmas. And as I was driving by, there were these gentlemen from the YouTube or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one dirty cone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to come back. I said, and I blew my horn. I said, can you tell your supervisor, whomever it may be, if you all are doing this type of work, you all should at least have more cones. I said, and you need to extend this. This lane that you were working in is closed
mm-hmm.
because it is so dangerous. I said, do you see the way they do it on Bahama Boulevard?
Mm-hmm.
They put many cones, and we have to go around. You are putting these work lives in danger.
Yes.
And as you have said, we need to do better, man. I, I guess whenever I call, I'm always calling saying we have to do better. But it's just simple things. We need to do better.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you. Because that scene is detrimental to the road users and the staff and the laborers and the people who are in the road. It's unsafe for them. It's unsafe for the road users. It's unsafe for the pedestrians. It's just unsafe. It's just unsafe. A couple more texts. Let's go. And then, Crystal, I want to ask you, I know that you were working on a community development project, program in Houston. I want to ask you a couple questions about that. Okay, here's a text. Good morning, Aaron, and your co-host, Minister Sweeting, is not a good representative for Luthra. The roads are worse than he met them, and the water and power is always on and off. Listen, the last time I went to summer camp, I was 18. That means that's 31 years ago. And every story, I might as well be right back at 18 years old.
Girl. And yes, I go to Luthra all the time. That's my family island. Mm-hmm. And listen, always been a problem. Always. From I could remember the water, the light, it always, even when I go, I still go every year. Mm-hmm. I go for vacation. I know the power's going to go off while I'm there.
Yeah,
I know the water's going to go off while I'm there.
And for me.
So it's something that you brace for. And then when you think about, you know, an island that's quickly developing, those things need to be in place. I don't know what the solution is, mm-hmm. but yeah.
All right. So
it's always been a problem.
Absolutely. And Minister of Works, it's a massive portfolio. Mm-hmm. The number of traffic fatalities on the island of Eleuthera should be sufficient to warrant attention to the roads in Eleuthera, but not just to the roads, but to the road users as well. Because the one thing that's also another thing that's also not changed. When I was the last year I went to summer camp, I was 18, so I was old enough. I was a counselor, I could move about. Mm-hmm. I was on a ride from JC or Governor's Harbor down up south, and we were driving at like 105 miles an hour. And I promised myself I would never be in a vehicle anywhere, including especially a family island doing that speed. It has not changed.
Never. Yeah, I know. People just zip past. I don't have, my anxiety could never.
Now, here's the thing. Here's why I would make this
especially
segue.
Especially with all those turns and blind spots and hills and
So now I want to make the segue, right? What's happening? See, this weekend, I got a text here that says, hey, Aaron, I didn't know that you still have some very brave and courageous women out there. That woman getting robbed at gunpoint and fighting back and getting dragged and shot surprised me. Listen, let's talk about that scene. Let's go to the segment, Disturbing Things I Saw Online This Weekend. It's still connected to our previous conversation. Mm-hmm. How come I see a image with police, one picture police detaining two men, in the other picture there's a vehicle with a red plate on it? We're going to need the Royal Bahamas Police Force to start answering some questions, right? Why are there rumors swirling about that a police officer is involved in that, in a scene this weekend? Why are there rumors swirling about that there may have been a government vehicle with red plates on it, or there may be a vehicle with stolen red plates on it involved in criminal activity this weekend, right? Are they rumors? See, because I can't see it in the paper. I got to be very careful what I say, right? We need the Ministry of National Security to confirm whether a Defense Force officer was involved in criminal activity this weekend. We need the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Ministry of National Security to confirm whether a police officer was involved in criminal act. It was interdicted, detained, or found themselves being a suspect in criminal activity this weekend. See, because, see that song I played to start the show, The Flicking Road? Who's watching the road? Who's watching the road if police watching nothing? 6, as per my count, 6 traffic fatalities so far for the year. Even if it's just 5, who's watching the road? It's not the police. They're watching their phones. They're not stopping at stop signs. They're not stopping at red lights. They're not wearing their seatbelts. They're not warning or ticketing people for illegal parking, for parking on sidewalks, for not adhering to the laws pertaining to pedestrian crossings. Police are actively encouraging tourists to jaywalk and obstruct traffic in town. Police are actively encouraging tourists to jaywalk in town, obstructing the movement of goods, people, and services. Near pedestrian crossings, close enough to tell them just go to the pedestrian crossing. You got tour guides and sales staff who have tourists in the road blocking traffic. One young white tourist boy cussed me on Friday because I blew my horn to ensure that he was aware that there was a vehicle in the road right next to him right before I made movement. Standing in the road next to empty sidewalk, I want you all to know it took all of Corinne Mitchell and Una Hasty within me to not park my car and ask that young man, what the hell is wrong with him? It's Bahamians encouraging this foolishness. We want to talk about migrant this and migrant that. It's Bahamians engaged in and create foolishness and creating the environment where these things flourish. Let's go back to the text line. Morning, Aaron and your co-host. Did you see a video where I sprayed a six-month-old baby in its face with mace? I see you sent me the link. I could take a look at it. Miss Green saw a person walking and crossing the street at an intersection on the phone, not paying attention. Please, folks, pay attention even when walking. Let's go to the phone line, and then we go to you, Crystal.
Even when walking? That goes without saying.
It used to go without saying, but it needs to be said now. Good morning, caller. Turn your radio down.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Hi, good morning. Hello. I can hear you.
I can hear you.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
Good morning. How you doing? Oh, it broke up just now. Because when you answered my question, I was sure you were sure you was hearing me. Do me a favor, caller. Call right back. The number's to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Good. You know what I like about your show in the mornings about traffic?
Yes, sir.
You talk about the things that you experience.
Yes, sir.
And everybody knows that if you're saying it, it is true, and you're not guessing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see in the Grove, more of these garages take their cars off of the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a fortune billing them for the people to walk on, mm-hmm. and the people think they should park their cars on them and leave them there the whole year.
Yeah.
And the police ride up. The police even got to go around them sometimes.
Yeah.
But they're waiting. They're saying it's not their job, it's environmental health. But that should be a part of their job. These people who are billing these, having these garages in the Grove, that adds to the downgrade and the devaluation of the properties.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they treat the Black Belt areas so, because they think we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't recognize it. We don't speak out. Guess what? Let me give you the joke. The other day, a woman at my business, I got one in the Grove, she parked across the front door. Mm-hmm. I said, miss, you can't go down there to Kelly's and do that. Mm-hmm. But they'll tow your car. And she got out of the car arguing with me
mm-hmm.
because I asked her to move. Park the car across the front door.
Yeah.
And they just treat us like we don't count. But yet when it comes to election, they in these areas playing music and riding up and down all day and pitching body all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Rum can done.
Okay, so it tells, and I hope the people recognize these things. And at the end of the day, they say they love you
mm-hmm.
when they going off the stage. And the people still go put them right back in.
There you go.
Anyway, I just thank you for letting me say that.
Yes, absolutely. And so, and also, the next time you encounter a police officer in a situation like that and they tell you, there's nothing we could do about it, you get called environmental health. I come to you right now, caller. Tell the police officer you could ticket them for parking illegally on the sidewalk. You could ticket them for obstructing traffic. You could ask them to show proof show proof that this vehicle is licensed to be on the road, or in the alternative that it was towed by a professional towing company to the site. There's plenty of things the police officers could do if they realized that they could also think on the job. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to Crystal.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, Ms. Green, I really enjoy your the traffic. You know, it's like I may have a new one for the DSM. I'm suffering, Christian mentioned the word anxiety, but I'm suffering from traffic, anger disorder.
Traffic-related PTSD?
Yeah, because I lost it last night. I had to, you know, you always give your stories, but the government is losing out on a lot of money because really and truly, we need a traffic surveillance, capital surveillance grid in which once you commit an offense, you send a ticket and then the video shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what is most disturbing for me, Ms. Green. I was out late. This is about 10 or just after, right? I call it late because, you know, the last time I told you I was almost killed on Shirley Street, it was Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm juxtaposing Sunday with imbecility day as it relates to the nighttime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's driving drunk and everybody thinks another person is a punk.
Mm-hmm.
But I was heading west, just coming, you know, the plaza on east, on the just on the east west highway, man, the plaza where new light is.
Yeah.
So I was pointing west and getting ready to head north. And so obviously the light was on green. And so here comes an imbecile. You know, I have to use that word. It comforts me. And so he is heading south on the screen. My light is on green, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is coming into me. I was like, I actually stopped the car because I couldn't believe he was still making the speed with me. No, and I stopped the car in the middle of the road
in
fear. And he's in a little car that if I kick it, it'll turn over.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to think, Ms. Green, it's really sickening. It, something needs to be done. And then the police officer, sometimes I see where they watch people run the light. They see certain infractions and they don't do anything.
Nothing. They don't even blow their horn. They could use the speaker. But, they could use the speaker in the car to say, we saw that, don't do it again.
And it relates to what Molly called about in the group. Not compounding that, also compounding that problem is people who own garages, they leave their transmission and cars, et cetera, in the road and whatever, and they impede people. But as it relates to the police, it's no different than the complaints unit. You know, I've had money stolen from me doing so, just looking for my, some people that lives in the homestead, and money was stolen out of my cow foot, $600, $700, $800, et cetera. It's in the cow foot. It's missing. It's missing. And my family members more than once, you go to the complaint unit, you make a complaint. I gave them the inspector number that I had for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I call him, he hang up. But nope, I haven't got any redress. They don't even call you to give me your money back. So I don't know who could afford to lose $600, $700, $800. I can't because I didn't know what it was, but I work in the shop. I put the money there. But it obviously was a vast amount of money that I had. But I'm saying is you get no recourse from the time I know them. This is twice in my life I've had money taken from me. Once during a search, in person in traffic stop, and this is what's going on. You see, you get no recourse. So they don't want to deviate these vehicles. We saw in the video that disturbed me with the police punching of the guy excessively, right?
Mm-hmm.
That type of barbarity, and that barbarity should be thrown up the force or put to make work someplace else. He can't be dealing with people. He obviously has exalted himself above all, and he doesn't deserve to work with people. He can't.
I got you.
Give thanks.
I understand exactly what you're saying. All right, so you know where this happens a lot? John Shea next to St. Barnabas. Right, like next,
oh
listen,
gosh.
Next to a church, the fanciest cars, will be parked on the sidewalk, blocking access to the store for the people that don't have car.
Yeah.
It is the most shameful.
And it is such a, is there a crosswalk in that
area? No, there isn't.
Because
they're just obstructing traffic.
No, there needs to
yes,
be
yes, no, I agree with you.
Because there are too many people crossing the street at the same time.
In different spots.
Yep. It is madness.
Absolutely.
From Great Commission all the way up.
All right, so I got a text here, and then I got another thing I got to put on the table. Good morning, Aaron, about the Ministry of Works. What about these islands on the road? Robinson Road going west from Claridge Road intersection. Bamboo Boulevard, Pinewood going east along Charles Sanders Highway, Eastern Road near St. Anne's Cemetery. Most of them have no signage and no reflective cat eyes. A disaster just waiting to happen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The renovations on Fox Hill, Eastern Road intersection, Johnson Road, Eastern Road intersection, Blair, Eastern Road intersection are great, except there needs to be more signage, and you'll actually have to teach people how to use the road. And you should show up there every once in a while to make sure that people are using the roadway properly, because they're not. Let's go to the phone.
Reflectors and what do you call it? Dividing.
The paint in the line, the lights, reflectors the on the ground, yeah. Reflectors on the median.
I feel like those are a little easier than the street signs, maybe.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Erin. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
Listen, some of the issues you're talking about have been issues I've addressed on numerous talk shows concerning my observations just driving the streets. The most dangerous things that I see going on right now that's other than is you're putting down speed bumps and you don't put the white triangles down. You don't put no signage to say that the speed bump is there. The
no light.
Bumps are the same color as the road. And when you hit it, you go flying all over the place. That's a traffic accident waiting to happen. I avoid that. That's a major concern.
And let me just, let me just say one thing. And after the tragic Munnings Road death, where we still haven't answered the question of why are we not holding the government to account for the lack of proper signage and public infrastructure on that road. Go on, Jeff.
Thank you so much. And you brought to mind Miss Gavinisha Carey. That was the young lady who lost her life on that road.
Thank you.
It still saddens me that there has been no official, and I'm saying no official recount on anything in her memory. Because that was tragic. The second thing that I talked about, the same little islands on these same dark roads where there's no cat eyes put down. Sapodilla Boulevard is one of them in Pinewood Gardens, the main thoroughfare. They got those little islands in the road. There's no cat eyes there. The road is in darkness. Bahamas Boulevard is another section coming from the old BTC going towards Saunders Beach. They have a couple of those little things, islands in the road. There are no cat eyes, no signage, nothing. The tree roots that is running by Sacred Heart Church on Shirley Street under the road. You have to stop sudden and cut to the right. That's another accident just waiting to happen. And these are things that the public is bringing to the governmental agencies on our observations in terms of preventing traffic accidents and stuff, and nothing appears to be being done. My last point here is simply this. You know, we talked about, in terms of traffic signals, the one that sits at Beatrice Avenue and Bay Lily Drive, the turning light has been off from Thy Kingdom Come and Thy Will Be Done. They have not reengaged those lights. The lights have been knocked down on the ground. The poles have not been replaced. And we could go on and on and on with the myriad of things that we see has gone wrong. Right down to the at Marathon Road traffic light, where apparently an accident took place. They knocked down the railings there. The railings have not even been replaced to protect the pedestrians. And we could go on and on and on. So when are we going to fix the Bahamas?
Absolutely.
You know, when are we going to fix New Providence? Anyway, that's all I wanted to bring about. But these are issues we have spoken to time and time and time again. Yeah. And nothing appears to be is being done. And but thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Life after life after life after life is being needlessly lost while we sit here in the face of mediocre politicians demanding we celebrate them. Okay, here's a text. Erin, sad to say, you only see officers on the streets when you have a fatality, not to mention the amount of officers in khaki on the scene. Where are the officers routinely on the streets? God help us all. Well, listen, after what we've seen in the public domain over the last 2 weeks with uniformed officers, people in positions of authority, people who have had government plates assigned to them or commercial vehicles assigned to them, what we've seen. Let me tell you all a quick story. So you see, we had the tragic traffic fatality on the 11th of January, East Bay Street. I told you all, I witnessed a man lose his life in that area after almost becoming a victim to an accident myself, right? So The week before that happened, I was on East Bay, I think it's right after or right around that time, I was on East Bay Street heading east, passing Harbor Bay. And there were these two motorcyclists in the road. I don't know what they were doing except obstructing traffic. The car on the side of them is oblivious. They just tootling at anywhere from 7 to 12 miles an hour. So the scene, nobody could proceed beyond these two vehicles, and nobody knows what they're doing in their vehicle. Eventually, I can proceed, and when I'm side by side with the motor scooterists, I say to them, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing on the road? Be safe. Those two young men and the third motorcyclist who was in front of them constitute a gang because they talk to each other and cycled up, right? They rode their motorcycles around the side, around my car, like a little gang operation, until the senior man on the bike with his little joint hanging out his mouth look in the car and say, oh, that's a woman, buddy. That's a woman. Now, me asking them what they're doing to show them be safe on this road, mm-hmm. right, turned into them getting ready to gangbang me, and I mean that because that's what a gangbang is, mm-hmm. right? Right in front of the SIB. So imagine me telling them, y'all be safe on this road, also giving you an indication that the police live right around the curve where you going, turned into them trying to decide whether they was going to mash me up, beat me up, mm-hmm. attack me on the road. This is a road I live on. This is a road I've seen people die on.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the response you get for trying to keep people safe and trying to keep yourself safe most of all. Here's the irony. You see now SIB, Securities Intelligence Branch, they are in the number one plaza where the Governor General's office is, right opposite Montague Beach. Do you think that causes or compels police officers to enter the beach in the right way or exit the beach from the exit? No. Police officers are now all in any other car exiting Montague Beach from the entrance, right in front of the entrance to the police office, right there.
And I think that has an arrow, if I could remember.
No, it has a curve. No, it has a curve that should show you clearly that you're not intended to turn left from this spot, right? Mm-hmm. Then to the taxi drivers. And the ordinary drivers and the jitney drivers and the tour drivers who block up the entrance to Montague from the Village Road access and Shirley Street access, to the said who used the entrance as an exit, to the person who ran the red light as our cars were crossing from East Bay to Eastern Road, just ran their red light in the middle of us driving to go to the ramp. And the police are right there. The police are right there. You're going to get attacked if you try to keep yourself safe on the road. You're going to get attacked if you try to keep other people safe on the road. And guess what? It's happened to me. It happened to me with people in red plates. It happened to me with people, tour guides and responsible for tourists. It happened to me with people who, when I say, bro, if you use a police, right, go police somebody. And they look at me like, how you know you as a police? The people who y'all are vesting authority in have no idea what it means to have authority vested in them. From the commercial drivers, and I can start calling your company names soon.
Oh, I had an experience with two last week, and it was the companies,
people,
and they're doing
people tours. Running the red light with your company name mm-hmm. on the vehicle, mm-hmm. right? It is
driving recklessly with the company name on the
white and blue ridiculous. Plates, black and white plates, blue and white plates, red plates, police vehicles, cabinet minister vehicles, MP vehicles, left, right, and center. And here I am sitting asking myself, where are the police? And then I turn on my internet to see where they are.
So I'm gonna bring this back full circle.
Okay, then we got a minute if the producer is nice.
So once again, justice, right? It goes back to which neighborhoods get more justice? Who are the people who are getting hurt in these accidents, right? Mm-hmm. Are they are they getting the amount of justice, and how long does it take to fix the problem or is it being addressed, right? So once again, looking at this, who, right? It goes down. If you have lives in your hand, you're driving a bus, a taxi, those type of vehicles, you should definitely be more accountable, you know?
Absolutely.
But, yeah. That's just, I just wanted to bring it back there because it's not the same rules for mm-hmm. everyone, it seems.
There you go. Listen, at the end of the day, it boils down to an administrative crisis. The police are not doing their job. The people who have authority vested in them are not doing their job. And that includes you, the ordinary driver.
Right.
On your phone while you're driving.
Speeding.
Not wearing your seatbelt. And it's not just speeding. There's a difference between speeding and driving deliberately. What we need people to do is to drive with intention and deliberately, as opposed to just getting in the car and doing whatever. You guys, I can't pressure my producer anymore. The madness also is that it seems mostly only poor people in the inner city not respecting right of passage for motorists. It ain't just, it's just where you be most of the time. In the bougie parts, cousin, it's just as bad.
Yep.
People have no respect for life. Y'all stay tuned. Thank you, Crystal. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. We're going to have a great day. Stay warm, stay dry.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Put more money back in your pocket with a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.